It was 1945 in the DP camp, just a few months after liberation. The Kleuzberger Rebbe is leading the Yom Kippur davening in DP camp with people who aren't broken. They're crushed, shattered, battered, obliterated. You can imagine the moving davening that was going on. And as the davening goes along, the Kleuzberger Rebbe was leading a man who had lost 11 children and his wife in the Holocaust. And the davening reaches the Al-Chetz, that we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we profess to him, we did this sin, we did that sin, with our minds, with our hands, with our hearts, with our bodies. And one man gets up and screams, "No!" And everyone doesn't know what to do. And they say, okay, try calming him down. He says, "No!" They try talking to him, "No!" And he says, "I'll hate with my hands. I'll hate with my eyes. I'll hate with my bodies. I watched my family get murdered. I did nothing. I didn't use my hands. I saw tragedies going on around me, and I kept my head down. I was forced to do the worst things, and I didn't move a muscle out of place. I did no sin with my hands. I did no sin with my body. I did no sin with my head." If anyone has to ask forgiveness, said the man, "it's God for taking away my family, for destroying the Jewish people, for all the horrible things that we saw and we went through." And no one knew what to say. The crowd went silent. They turned to the Rebbe, looking with pleading eyes about what they could say. And the Rebbe said, "He's right." And everyone broke down crying. The Rebbe said, "However, let me tell you something." The Rebbe said that they were in the camps, in the worst possible situation that anyone could imagine. Their clothing were riddled with lice. They were freezing at nights and boiling during the day. The conditions were horrible. People were dying of illness, of getting beaten, backbreaking labor, worst things that we could never, ever imagine. And he said there was a ritual the Nazis would do every day. They would take a few people and they would put a backpack on someone's back and put it with bricks. And they would say, "If one brick falls, we add two more." And they would tell you to climb steps. And people would climb, and obviously a brick would fall. They would add more. And they didn't allow them to stop. If they would stop, the Nazi would say, "If you stop, we beat you. If you fall, we beat you down to the ground till you're dust." And the Kleuzberger Rebbe said this was worse than anything else, worse than the regular labor, worse than seeing all the atrocities, worse than sleeping with riddled clothing, disgusting with lice and dirt and disease. This was the worst thing that you could imagine. Going through it yourself, he said, and watching others. The Rebbe said when he witnessed this horrible, horrible atrocity that the Nazis would do, every night when he would go to sleep, he would say, "Please, please God, just let me die in my sleep so I don't have to wake up to this again. Take me away from the pain so I don't go through this. Let me just go with you tonight." The Rebbe said that, "I'm asking God for forgiveness right now because I didn't ask for something much bigger. I didn't ask for his salvation. I didn't ask for his care. I didn't ask for the greatest thing, for Hashem to pluck me out of my darkness." And for that, the Kleuzberger Rebbe said, we all have to ask for forgiveness, that we didn't reach out to God and know he's there for us. This is an unbelievable story. It means that in every situation in your life, you have to take your head and expand it. No matter how difficult, no matter how dark, no matter how damp, no matter how much pain, you can always expand your mind to know that Hashem can do anything, no matter how hard, difficult, no matter how dark. Hashem can do it. You have to attach to that. But the lesson here that the Klausenberg Rebbe is teaching us is the foundation for all of life. That we have to know that no matter how much we can justify something and say, yes, that was right what I did at the time. I davened for my death. Who wouldn't? You can always look deeper and say, I could have been bigger than that. I could have dreamed bigger than that. I could have been more real than that and aligned myself with something more. The Klausenberg Rebbe was saying that I could have been bigger. I could have done better. I should have seen past what I was seeing at the time. And that's my flaw. This is the foundation that we can take out of Shavuot Sefer Tammuz and hopefully take us up and up and up. Fasts in general are a very puzzling subject in the Jewish calendar. What are we supposed to gain out of it? Jews do love complaining, and it does give a lot to complain about. My father always says that the most amazing thing a Jew, especially a Litvak, can relish in is grunts and moans over his challenges. Oh, I have a headache from the fast. Oh, I'm starving. I'm feeling shvach and maises. That's like the geschmack of a Litvak. The geschmack of a Litvak is to complain. So the fast of Shavuot Sefer Tammuz is maybe even a simcha for the Litvak. So that is a great benefit of fasting, that it speaks to Achinu, it speaks to our brothers, the Jewish Litvaks in the world, that they like being miserable to a certain extent, like the cold and the darkness and the misery. But for the rest of Klal Yisrael, and even for them, what are we really supposed to gain out of it? Besides the tainug of misery, what are we supposed to gain out of the fast? It may be a velos of mourning, maybe something more. The Rambam tells us that the entirety of the four fasts that we have throughout the year is one thing. That we should have introspection, that we should have depth and look at what our forefathers did, look at the tragedies, the events that happened on those days, and look at the tragedies that are happening now, and use that as a point for introspection, that we know that the reason the tragedies happened then and the reason the tragedies are happening now are due to the sins of our forefathers and our sins right now. That means the fasting, as all the Pesukim, Rishonim and Acharonim say, is not the main thing. The fasting is just a catalyst, a tool for us to be bigger, to grow. It's an opportunity for focus, to remove yourself from everything, to feel that little bit of challenge and say, what am I doing here? Why am I removing myself from all the pursuits of life? What's the goal? To have introspection. What happened today? This is a day of challenge, a day of difficulty, a day where something happened. What happened? Where can I go from here? The Chasam Sofer asks on the Rambam, where is the Rambam's source? How did he know this? If you look at the commentaries in the Rambam, they are silent as to where the Rambam knew that fasts are a day of introspection. The Gemara seems to imply that it's connected to avelus, to mourning. But it doesn't say anywhere where the Rambam is coming from, because he doesn't say it's a day of mourning. He says it's a day, and that's all for all four fasts. In Teves, Tzayim Gedalia, on Yitzayin Tammuz, and on Tisha B'Av, the Rambam says all of them are days of introspection. So where is the Rambam coming from? The Chasam Sofer explains that the Rambam is coming from Chazal. That Chazal, we do not find anywhere our Misakin institute days of Avelus. He says that Chazal only institute days that are Me'ein De'eraisa. And we know that by Pesach, the Gemara has a limud why we say hallow. It learns out that we say hallow due to the miracles which we had that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. And therefore we have Purim, and we have Chanukah. And due to the fact that Torah told us we can Nischadish create days of Simcha, therefore we can have Purim and Chanukah. But the Chasam Sofer says that we don't find the Torah creating days of Avelus out of nowhere. When someone passes away, you have Avelus. We don't have Avelus stam. There's no other situation where we can draw from for the chachamim, for the rabbis, to institute, to misakein, any days of mourning. So therefore, says Chacham Sofer, we do not find a concept of mourning in the Torah, barring specifically someone dying, which is a very powerful concept. The Torah has no purpose for us to just be sad over something, to process something in that way, and to move past it. Mourning is the journey of processing something which is gone. There is no such thing in the Torah. And we'll see the depth of that soon. But that's the first point the Chacham Sofer makes, that there's no idea from the Torah of processing except for when someone passes away. Otherwise, it's something we live with now. It's not something gone. Processing means the thing is gone, you have to deal with it. A loved one is gone, you have to deal with that, you have to accept it. There's no such thing in the Torah besides that, because everything else is happening right now, as we'll explain. So Chacham Sofer says, therefore, there is no concept of mourning, and the Chachamim, the rabbis, could not have instituted that. So what did they institute? Days of introspection. Days where we look at ourselves. Days where we're saying, how can I grow and be bigger and better, and how can I look at what happened and what's happening and move on from that? That's the first point of what the fast is. So since that's the point of the fast, that's what the Torah gives us, tshuva, introspection, growth. When a tragedy happens, it's not for mourning. We're not trying to process it and move on. The mourning can only be a form of tshuva. I asked Rabbi Ehrenfeld Shlita, one of the most prominent speakers in America at this current time, I said, how can the Chacham Sofer make sense that there's no concept of mourning the Torah, the Chazal could attach to, and therefore they couldn't make fast about mourning? Tisha B'Av is all about mourning. It's not about tshuva per se. So Rabbi Ehrenfeld Shlita answered that the whole entire Tisha B'Av, according to the Rambam, according to the Chacham Sofer, of the mourning, is tshuva, is a growth process. So that's Minei Bein the Chacham Sofer, a beautiful answer, and it fits with a difficult Chacham Sofer, which we won't get into now. But in the Rambam's world, as Rabbi Ehrenfeld explains, even Tisha B'Av, even the mourning Tisha B'Av, according to the Chacham Sofer, is a form of growth. It's not processing something that happened. It's figuring out how I can be bigger and better now, which fits with a lot of things in Tisha B'Av. But moving on. So if we come to a fast day, if we come to Yud Zayin Tammuz, we have to figure out what's going on in Yud Zayin Tammuz. We have to say, okay, I have to assess the day, see what happened, and then learn from it and grow from it. So what happened in Yud Zayin Tammuz? The Mishnah in Tainis enumerates five things which happened on Yud Zayin Tammuz and five things which happened on Tisha B'Av. The first of them is the Shviras HaLuchos, the Luchos breaking. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and he broke the Luchos on Yud Zayin Tammuz. This is the first of the tragedies the Mishnah enumerates, and due to being the first in the Mishnah chronologically, it's clearly something that we have to focus on. Because Klal Yisrael works, the Torah works, the world works in the way that when something happens in the world, something happens to our nation, it's not an occurrence. It's changing the fabric of reality for eternity, laying something in the cycle of time, which will come up again every year. Whatever happened at that time will come up again every year. And that's something that was embedded in our neshamas, in our timeline, in our framework, the Jewish people, for eternity. So therefore, we have to go until it's completely mistook, until it's completely fixed, and see what happened then, and try and isolate the sin, isolate the occurrence, and then we can have a path to grow from it. So Yud Zayin Tammuz, the central focus point, the deepest crack in our foundations, come from the Shviras HaLuchos. So whatever that crack was, whatever that breakage was, or something happened, had an effect, it's very deep in Klal Yisrael foundations, because it's when we first became a nation. In the formation of our nation, what happened? The Shviras HaLuchos. So we have to assess that, and then we can grow from it. So what happened in the Shviras HaLuchos? The Shviras HaLuchos was an unbelievable occurrence. Something astounding. Moshe Rabbeinu got something which was Maise Elohim, something which was the bridge between physicality and spirituality. The Luchos themselves had many miracles encapsulated in them. Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to bring that down to Klal Yisrael. Everything was in it. You didn't need to work hard. It was all given over to you. What's it between Torah Shebech Sav and Torah Shebech Peh? Luchos Rishon and Tzuchos Shnius. Luchos Rishon is the first Luchos. It didn't need to work. It was all laid out. It was all clear. It was all understood. Then we got the second Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu made them. And Moshe Rabbeinu then gave us the Svaras and the toiling and understanding and all the Svaram we have come from Luchos Shnius. They would not have been in Luchos Rishon. Everything would have been clear. There would be no machlekes, there would be no differences. It would all be absolute, pristine relationship with Hashem. That's Luchos Rishon. Moshe Rabbeinu was up there. And what happens? He says, Lechrei, go down. Shichas Amcha, your nation is doing something very destructive, doing Avodah Zarah. Moshe Rabbeinu goes down. He sees them. He smashes the Luchos. This seems like a horrible occurrence. He sees them dancing around the Egel, this idol. And for some reason, he sees fit. Gemara gives a reason. Joshim gives a reason. To smash the Luchos, to destroy them. What happens? They stop. You know, people were killed after as a result of their actions. What was going on? Seems like it's a horrible thing. What does Moshe Rabbeinu get told after he smashed the Luchos? Yasher koichacha asher shibarta. Joshim, the Gemara in a few places, says that Hashem says to Moshe, the first shkoyach. Someone gets an aliyah, they do hagba, like in the shul, say shkoyach, shkoyach. Where's the first shkoyach? Moshe Rabbeinu, what was the first shkoyach for? Yasher koichacha? Bracha? An unbelievable message from Hashem to him. It was when he broke the luchos. He smashed the luchos, which is what the whole Yud Zayin Tamuz is about. And then he gets a yasher koichacha. What's going on? How can we understand that? He did this seemingly horrible action. You want to say it was haskama, Hashem told him you did the right thing. Then say yasher koichacha, Hashem could tell him. You didn't do an aveira with what you did. It was necessary. Why is he giving him a yasher koyach? What's the back and forth? Furthermore, the Rishonim address that where were the luchos placed after in the Aron HaKodesh? Now, there's something called Ein Kitegar Nasa Senegar, that you don't use something which was an aveira to go and be a defense for you to Hashem. So luchos in the Aron is obviously a schus, something to help us. So we can't then go use that as a defense if it's a sin. It can't be something that's a schus for us. You can't use the thing which came against you to be a schus for you, to be a defense for you. So why were the shivri haluchos inside of the Aron Kodesh that's going to come against us? Hashem will see them and get angry at us. So says the Ramban, it's clear that the shivri haluchos, the broken parts of the luchos, are chaviv to Hashem. And the Ramban says in Baba Basra that the action of breaking luchos was not kasha before Hashem. Wasn't kabiachol difficult for him. So now we really have to understand. Yud Zayin Tamuz is about the Shvir Saluchos. But the Shvir Saluchos, we see you got a Yashikoyach. And in addition to the Yashikoyach, we see that Hashem keeps them. It's chaviv. So what was going on? Is this a special thing? Or is it, no, it's a horrible, horrible thing. So the Mefarshim explained the Midrash, Sprawl and Alshich, and many others, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went down, he saw the nation doing idolatry. We were compared to a Nesua. We were married to Hashem in the most ultimate unionship we could possibly want. By our Sinai, we heard the Seres Dibros. So we're connected, we're close. What happens? Now, Kaviyachol, we're doing adultery. We're leaving Hashem. We're going to Avodah Zarah. And that deserves death. Destruction, obliteration of the nation. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm undoing the unionship between you and Hashem. I'm going to make Klal Yisrael like a penuya, which is a free lady. The marriage is done. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu destroy the marriage? Because if we would have been married, Hashem would have no option but to destroy us. No option but to take us out and obliterate us. Because it cannot be consistent that we're married to Hashem and we're doing the greatest sin, Avodah Zarah. So what was going on? Moshe Rabbeinu was going to save us for eternity. When he saw us doing the Avodah Zarah, he made an executive decision to save us for eternity by making us disconnected from Hashem, How could we disconnect from Hashem? Because if we would be connected, we wouldn't be able to handle the heat. Hashem would have to destroy us. So what does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu after that? Yasher koyach asher shivart. Moshe Rabbeinu, you did the best thing. If I would have Klal Yisrael in the deep relationship like we had with Luchos Rishonos, they would have to be destroyed. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? And Hashem gave him a bracha for, a blessing for. He's Mekayim the Torah. It wasn't that he just did something that he had to do. This was the way to keep the relationship. Rav Huttner explains that he got a Yasher Koyach because that was intrinsic to the relationship itself at that time. It was intrinsic to it. It allowed it to continue. So Hashem said, thank you for that. You did an amazing thing. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, destroyed them. Because Klal Yisrael were not relevant to that level anymore. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu got a bracha from that. We learn from there that mundane acts are a mitzvah, and it's not considered bittul Torah. Doing what we need to do, mitzvahs, it's not considered bittul Torah. It's all one thing. That we constantly are affirming our relationship with Hashem through our actions. But that's a different reality. Luchos Rishonos said we're pristine, there was no work, no toil, and nothing. Luchos Shnius, what were Luchos Shnius? Hard work. So when the Luchos were broken, a new reality was created. It was complete bliss, no fighting, no difficulties, no challenges. That was Luchos Rishonos. That reality was ripped away. Why was that reality ripped away? Because otherwise we wouldn't be able to have a relationship. What was the new reality that was created with us in the Kodesh Baruch Hu? The new reality was created, one, of difficulty, one of challenge, good and bad, light and darkness, positive and negative. That was the new Luchos created. That was the new Klal Yisrael's new relationship. We became unmarried to Hashem, so we'd be able to go through a new journey. Moshe Rabbeinu got Yasher Koyach. It was not kosher for him. It was not difficult for him. He took those Shibri Luchos and put them inside the Aron because it allowed us to sustain a relationship. So, was it good or bad? We see that on Yud Zayin Tammuz. It starts everything. It's all difficult. We see that, he says, Yasher Koyach, we keep the Shviras Luchos. Was the Shviras Luchos good or bad? What was going on? So the Shviras Luchos represent a duality. Just like Yud Zayin Tammuz, through Tish B'Av represent a duality of pain, suffering, darkness, but of growth. These days, Yud Zayin Tammuz, from that day till Tisha B'Av, including Tisha B'Av, are days of Svadus, of connection, of growth, of Chibur, of oneness with Hashem. It's mixed bag. It's not simple. It's hard. Yud Zayin Tammuz is the trigger of the complex relationship between us and the Kodesh Baruch. That's what this day is. And that's why the Mefarshim speak out to Marsha, Shmuel, and many others, that these days represent two things. They represent the days from Rosh Hashanah until the end of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, which is 21 or 22 days. The same letters of the Aleph Bet, which is inclusive of Kol Tarkula. All the Torah is made up of the letters of the Torah, of the Aleph Bet. So therefore, the 22 days from the day of Zion Thomas until inclusive of Tisha B'Av is representative of Kol Tarkula. And in addition, if you make a cheshbon of all the Moedim, all the different holidays we have, including Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, and Tisha B'Av itself, it's 22, just like 22 days from Yud Zayin Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. So it's inclusive of everything these days from Yud Zayin Tammuz, from this fast. It includes everything. Why does it include everything? Because our relationship with Hashem, the new one which we have, was created on that day. It's complex. It's good and bad. It's days of challenge, but days of simcha. It's days which are going to become moadim, which are going to be complete days where we are celebrating, but right now it's difficult. Complexity, challenge, ups and downs, a relationship. That's what happened when the luchos are broken. So are they bad or good? When you eat food, is it bad or good? Well, on the one hand, when you eat food, you feel great. Energy, good taste, nutrients, but there's waste product which will come out after. Your body will process it. It's going to break down with its various enzymes, all different nutrients, sift out the good and the bad. So eating food, good or bad? On one hand, it creates a person to do the process of going to the bathroom and the waste leaving him. On the other hand, it gives him amazing things. So is it good or bad? It's both. Is the breaking of the luchos good or bad? It's both. It created a situation where we can sustain a relationship with Hashem. But we lost the greatest relationship. We lost what we could have had from our Sinai, the continuation to the Geula Shlema. So it's good or bad? It's both. We got the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim, which is Hashem's key that he gave us to forgiveness with him. Only as a result that we did the Chet Egel. Is it good or bad? Obviously it's bad. But a lot of good things came out of it. It's Chavav to Hashem because it allowed him. It's dear to him. It's endearing to Hashem that the luchos are broken. And it's not kosher form, it's not difficult, because it allows him to have a relationship with us. But it's a horrible thing because we lost the continuation from Sinai. We lost our journey. So is it good or bad? It's both. It's complex. It's difficult. The day of Yud Zayin Tammuz is focusing on that. And it's a complex day, because day which is going to be a Moed. It's a day which represents Rosh Hashanah and takes us on a journey all the way through all the Moedim. All these 20 days are days of the Moedim. They're days of growth. Rav Tzaddik and the Bnei Yisrael speak out from the Magen Meshritz that these days are days where Hashem is with you. Hashem leaves his palace and he's going out through the Shukim, through the streets. All you have to do is find him. You have to find Hashem. He's here. He's here with you right now in these 22 days. Go out and find him. So these are complex days. They're hard days. But they're days where Hashem is telling you, I'm here. Call out to me. Daven to me. Do introspection. What caused the sin of the ego? And what caused Moshe Rabbeinu to break the luchos? Moshe Rabbeinu is up in Shemayim. Hashem tells him they're doing the chet ego. You would think Moshe Rabbeinu would immediately break the luchos. If he broke the luchos to sustain the relationship, because it was impossible to keep the relationship because they were doing avodah zarah, then why didn't he break them right away? He should have broke them right away. He's in our Sinai. Should have broke them right there and then. But it says he went down. He saw the nation, and then he broke them. If it was necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to break the luchos in order to sustain the relationship with us and Hashem, he should have broken them when he was on our Sinai. Why did he wait till he got down? Some explain, like the Sefer Ikrim and others, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see what was happening. He heard it. And when you see something, it's a different level than hearing it. The Sefer Ikrim is the Sefer Ikrim. It's a very hard pshat to understand because Hashem told him it. Everything Hashem says is the fabric of reality. So in a Daimish Shmiler, it's not the same as when you see something and when you hear it. This is Hashem's word. Moshe Rabbeinu was pale with Hashem. Everything Hashem said to any of us would be the innate fabric of reality. Moshe Rabbeinu understood it with a clarity. There was no sveikas. So it's very hard to accept that pshat. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu not break the luchos when he was up in Shemayim? Only when he saw them down there. Explains the Svarna. Because when he got down there, he would have expected them to having a hard time. They just lost their leader, Moshe. And they're not doing avodah zarah because they thought, as the Mepharshim say, that they had to do the avodah zarah in order to have a leader. They lost their leader. Now they need a new leader. So it's going to be a great simcha. They knew that they heard, I do not serve other gods in front of me. But they have no choice. They need a leader. They need to get there to Yisrael. They actually want to connect to Hashem. It's actually good ritzinus. It shouldn't be a party. It should be, you're doing what you need to do. This is what I have to do. There's no other option. The nation's going to be going completely abyss otherwise to an Eretz Lozerua, a desert, and they're going to die. So we need to make that avodah zarah. And it's difficult. It's sad. It's challenging. But you have to. You have to do. That's it. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down. And he sees them as simcha. He sees them indulging. He sees them dancing. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm breaking the rules. Then there can't be this relationship. Then the marriage cannot last. Until that point, could have lasted. Once he saw them dancing, now it cannot last. And so much so, he wanted this relationship to continue. He did a chil Hashem. Yaakov Nesi explains that you can't destroy the luchos, the chil Hashem. How can you mechal Hashem Shemayim? You're destroying Hashem's name. You're destroying Hashem's Torah. Because he wanted the relationship to exist. But he only saw it impossible for that relationship to exist once they were dancing. What was the specific sin or flaw in the people that now that they're dancing, the relationship is not relevant anymore? And the Luchos Rishonos, the first pristine, pure relationship, must be absolved, obliterated, and disconnected in order to save the nation. What did Moshe Rabbeinu see at that time? So it's a very deep idea that in life, we all love justifying what we do. We get accused of something. Our first reaction is, I'm not wrong. You're wrong. When we see we're doing something wrong, say, I get angry at my kids. So I'm a nice guy. This happened to me. I'm a nice guy. Then I realize I'm getting angry. I'm like, oh, it's not so nice I'm getting angry. So either I can blame myself right now. I can say, hey, you're doing the wrong thing. You lost your temper. You lost your cool. Calm down. Or you could say, no, I'm a really good guy. Why am I angry? Why am I angry right now? I'm angry because they messed up. So now when I'm angry, I don't want to admit I'm angry. So what do? I use my genius mind to go and figure out why my kid did something so wrong, why my spouse did something wrong, why my friend did something wrong. And I don't just say, I'm sorry for getting angry. I lost my temper. I say, and I can't believe you did that because why did you act like that? It was so wrong that you were chutzpah, it was disrespectful, and you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have gone there. You shouldn't have called me. If we do that, we can't have relationships. We just justify, and we can't look at the truth of things. We can't look at the truth of the matter. We're nowhere. We're lost. We're in the abyss. Moshe Rabbeinu saw a nation who, when they were doing something wrong, when they had to go and choose to do the bazaar, which was the wrong decision in their minds, they thought they had to. They should have been able to own up to it. But instead of leaving any room for guilt, for weighing them down, for saying, this is the right thing, but we have no choice, took the other road and said, we must be doing the most amazing thing in the world. It has no wrong to it. We're going to sing, dance, party like there's no tomorrow. Once they went down that route, the route of excuses, now you can't have this pristine relationship. Now you've went in a way where you're not relevant to this level of purity. This was the sin that they did, that they danced and sang, and they couldn't own up to what they did. Once Moshe Rabbeinu saw that, he said, this relationship is not relevant anymore. We have to start anew. And again, he created a new, complex relationship, which is good and bad. It created a relationship where it's not going to be clear. We'll have to work through things. We will mess up. We have to know that when we mess up, that's okay. As in, we can own up to it. We're human. Humans mess up. During the Chet Egel, they made what we call a high-level mistake. They made a miscalculation. We don't have Moshe Rabbeinu, we need Avodah Zarah. But they couldn't own up to the fact that that was a mistake. They reveled it, they were dancing it, they loved it. This is awesome, they said. And now, what can we learn from that? What's the foundation of Shavuot Seder Tammuz? What can we learn going into these days, these very complex, very high, very big days for opportunity? What can we learn from that? That we don't make excuses in our lives. As in, it's okay to not be okay. When I mess up, that means I'm human. I can't leave it there and say, okay, I'm human, so I'm not going to work myself. I have to figure out what's going on with me. I have to take ownership. I have to take responsibility. I have to say that this is what I'm doing now, and it's okay that I'm not perfect, but I'm figuring out a path. If you don't say the words, it's okay that I'm not perfect, you'll never be able to own up to what you did, because then, as soon as you're imperfect, which we all are, you're going to figure out justifications. You're going to say, no, it's really okay because X, Y, Z, and you'll never be able to grow. This was the mistake that Moshe Rabbeinu saw when they were dancing. They couldn't own up to what they did. Instead of saying it's okay, they just justified themselves and made it like the biggest mitzvah instead of, in fact, in so this is what we're going to have to work on in these days. Looking, when I mess up on something, say it's okay that I messed up. I'm human. Sheva yibol tzadik v'kam. The foundation is that a tzadik falls seven times. Tzadik falls seven times and he gets up. You fall down and then you get up. But we all fall. Don't say when you fell that you're still standing up. Don't say when you crashed the car that you're still on the highway. When you fell off the horse, that you're really still on it. You fell. You crashed. You're down on the ground. You can get up. You will get up. You must get up. Don't fall into the same mistake they made by the Chet Egel. That's the Yisoid of Shavuot Seder Tammuz. If you boil it down to the first thing, the Shviras Aluchos, and why Moshe Rabbeinu broke them. The only reason he broke them, he wouldn't have broke them just if it was for the Chet Egel. He would not have broke them. The only reason he broke them was because They couldn't admit to their mistakes, and they justified it. So that means going into these days, the first step is when we make mistakes, we hurt someone's feelings. When we don't have enough kavana and abracha, when we're not learning enough, when we're not working on ourselves enough, we're not being considerate of other people enough, when we have a little too much negativity, when we could be doing things differently, we could be being more authentic. These days we have to focus on the authenticity, and that it's okay to not be okay, but I have to keep working. I have to figure out how I can go up. Don't make excuses for yourself. That's the foundation of these days. And if that wouldn't have happened, the luchos never would have been broken. And Kala Yisrael would have sustained and held that knot that was tied between them and Hashem, that marriage. But it was broken because they couldn't own up to what they did. The Klozenberg Rebbe showed us this foundation. He said, I made a mistake. I should have davened that Hashem saved me. I shouldn't have davened that I should die that night. Hashem's taking my misery. Should have davened. Hashem gives me the Yeshua. Let's learn from mistakes. Are we davening well? Are we making our heads big enough? Are we connecting Hashem enough? Let's learn. Let's grow. Let's all have an easy and meaningful fast and an amazing 21 and 22 days. And the Geula Shleima should come.